Hello there. I'm going to talk about, I'm going to bounce off some ideas getting ready for next week in terms of some thoughts on happiness and the psychology of happiness, and then tie to some Jewish thinking about this. The Sifrei Musar, etc. The first thought I wanted to talk about is the paradox of happiness, which is basically there's such a contrast between the secular view of simcha and basically the word happiness in the secular world comes from the root of the word haphazard, hapless, happenstance, which means what? B'mikra, something that just happens to happen, right? So the very word happiness means it's something that if you're lucky enough to, let's say, have money or to win the lottery, you'll be happy. The word simcha, on the other hand, has a very different kind of meaning. And I wanted to talk about that as we get ready to enter into the period of time of Simchas Yontif, where we will talk about a couple of ideas tied to this. And the first thought that comes to mind is my Rebbe, Rav Palm Zatzal, used to say, how do you know the difference between happiness and simcha? And he says, it's all how you feel the morning after. Right? He says, in the years that I used to work at a hospital, when I used to come into work on Isru Chag of Rosh Hashanah, all my non-Jewish friends would say, hey, you have a little bit of a hangover? You had a good time the last couple of days? And it hit me that their view of the day after a new year is that you go out and you get yourself drunk, and then the morning after you're going to have a hangover. Rav Palm would say, as he talk about the Haftarah that you'd read, that we read on, I think, Shmini Atzeres, where after the Chanukah Sabbath, after a week of Mishnah, Bnei Yisrael returned to the tent, B'simcha v'tov lev. He says, that's simcha. Simcha is where, after the party, you feel good about yourself. And that's the difference between simcha and happiness. I wanted to talk about this in terms of two or three core points. Point number one is you ask the average American, what does it take to be more happy? They say, if I make a little bit more money, just a little bit more money, I'd be happy. The reality is that the more money you make, the more money you want to make. Ohev kesev lo yispa kesev is exactly what the psychology research tells us happened. My favorite story about this is, I only have 15 minutes, so maybe I'll control the stories a little bit. But basically, the bottom line is that research study after research study shows, I once had a guy in my office who came in, this is a short story, guy in my office who came in and he was incredibly depressed, because it was bonus time in his investment banking firm. This is before the recent meltdown. And he was 28 years old, and I was asking him why he was depressed. He said, well, I just got my bonus, and it's $500,000. So I said, well, why are you depressed? He said, because the guy in the office next to me is every bit as good as he is, and he got $750,000. And that's when it hit me that you can never be besimcha if that's your yardstick, if that's your metric. I gave a talk last week on the financial meltdown. Another speaker was Moshe Weinberger, and he pointed out to me this unbelievable Maharal, and this is the first main point I want to make on this. The Maharal on this says, on this topic, says, in Gevuras Hashem, he says that, what's the connection between Lechem Oni and Cheiros? What's the connection between matzah and cheiros? And he goes on to write that there's a big difference between lechem oni and lechem ashira, between lechem oni and egg matzah. Egg matzah is called what it's called because it's tied to something else. It has other ingredients. So you put in juices and you put in other ingredients on top of the regular ingredients of matzah. He says, what's the essence of being an ani? The essence of being an ani is, he says, his lashon is ki ha'ani ein lo ela atzma. An ani only has himself. An ani doesn't depend on his happiness, doesn't depend on his self-concept, on anything other than who he is. I see this all the time on a regular basis in my office. People who are wealthy beyond anybody's wildest dreams, and they're not happy. And they're often not happy because they're always worried about, I've been seeing people on a regular basis now who have more money than they could ever think about spending. But because their net worth now is 40% less or 50% less, they can't be happy because they're not free people. They're not b'nei cheirus because their self-concept is tied to something else. Cheirus is anius. Ein lo ela atzma. And that's obviously meant psychologically. It's meant that you have to look to yourself because that's really what cheirus is all about. Now, that's the first point I wanted to make. It's that the difference between happiness and simcha is recognizing that, and recognizing that what's simcha about? Simcha is shem moach. It's being tied to meaning. A story that I often tell over when I'm talking about the difference between simcha and happiness is the story of the Chai Lifeline retreat, where we're sitting down mincha before davening, and a Chassidish guy turns to the other parents of kids with cancer and he says, "You know something? This Rosh Hashanah, my son was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. And this Yom Kippur, I was sitting down in shul, davening, surrounded by my friends, surrounded by my family, and surrounded by everything I cherish. And a wave of happiness washed over me, stronger than any happiness I ever experienced in my life." And I thought at first, what's he talking about? And I look around the room, and every other parent with tears in their eyes is nodding in agreement. And I realize I have to rethink my concept of simcha, because that's simcha. Simcha is, as the Chazon Ish said so beautifully, he said, "For he who knows the light of truth, there is no sadness in the world." Simcha is tied to meaning. It's shem moach. It's connection to meaning, connection to certainty. So there's two points I want to make in relation to this. The first one has to do with some research that shows that simcha is tied to setting goals. It turns out that if everybody here spends some time just writing down, where do you want to be in the next 5 years? What are your goals? Where do you want to be 10 years from now? What are your goals in life? What's your key dreams and hopes in terms of where you want to go? Do you know that your happiness level goes all the way up? The Pizesna Rebbe used to have his Talmidim. He writes about this in Chovas Talmidim. He would have his Talmidim sit and write and talk to him about six-month plans. Where do they want to be, the Pizesna would say? Where do they want to be in 6 months? Where do they want to be? And that's something that they would routinely discuss. And that's tied to Simcha, because Simcha very much is tied to that truth. So, you know, there's a pasuk in Mishle that says, "Be'en chazon yifara am." Without that vision thing, we sort of dwindle away. We don't stay connected. So staying connected to that emes, as the Chazon Ish says, is tied to happiness. You know, there's a beautiful quote I saw from Dr. Tatz, Dr. Akiva Tatz. Here's what he says in terms of this piece on that aspect of simcha. "Real happiness is what you experience when you're doing what you should be doing, when you're moving clearly along your own road, your unique path to your unique destination. You experience real happiness. When you're moving along the path that leads to yourself, to the deep discovery of who you really are, and when you're building the essence of your own personality and creating yourself, a deep happiness wells up within you. The journey does not cause happiness. The journey is the happiness itself. So that's point number one of the two main points I want to make on this, building on the concept of the Maharal in terms of Ani Ein Lo Ela Atzmo. And the second point is basically the point of, very tied to this, is that happiness is tied to somehow discovering our unique niggun, our unique voice. I was just going over in class the beautiful Shirat Ha'asavim in Likutei Maran, where he says that the key to leadership, the key to teaching, the key also to in some ways to zrizus, to vitality, is to tie in to our own unique niggun, and to help others, especially our students, tie into their unique niggun. It says, "Ki kol esev ve'esev yesh lo shira miyuchad." Every individual Jewish soul has its own unique niggun, and umishirat ha'asavim naaseh nigun shel haroeh. And it's from that uniqueness, the unique melody and unique voice of every single Jewish soul, that true happiness comes from. Let me pull together my final thought in terms of uniqueness, because I was just thinking about really interesting experience that I had just last week, and it reminded me of a story about the uniqueness happiness connection in the strangest of places. And it goes like this. It goes, and I'll end with these two brief stories. I was at a Priority One retreat, and the problem there is these are kids in our community who are at risk. They leave the derech. They're off the derech. And they have sessions where each kid talks about what it is that led to their leaving our way of life. And the tzad hashav is usually that their uniqueness is not recognized. For some, it's a problem of abuse that leads them to feel terrible about themselves, and they pull away from feeling a part of our community. For others, it's an issue of growing up in a family where the bumper sticker of the family is Ivy League or die, and the kid doesn't want to do that. They want something else. They're pulled in another direction, or maybe they don't have those academic abilities. Maybe they want to sit and learn. Their parents just don't recognize it. And for other kids, it has to do with other kinds of ways that their uniqueness is not being developed. So Rabbi Brafman, the principal of Yeshiva Far Rockaway, gave a talk after he heard this session of these at-risk kids. And he said, you know something? He said he noticed that when parents give a bracha Friday night to their children, they relate to each of their children in a way that captures their uniqueness. And that's the key. That's actually the key to happiness, the key to simcha in some ways, is a parent who gets their child. A parent, he said, you know something? He said that if we can capture the uniqueness of each of our children as we give them a bracha Friday night, and fan the flame of that uniqueness throughout the week, maybe it would be a little bit towards the refuah of this problem that's affecting our community. I didn't even realize this until I went home the next Friday night, and I noticed that each of my kids relates to me in a totally different way as I give them the bracha Friday night. Ishasher kfi berchaso. Rabbi Yeruchim has this beautiful mamar. Rabbi Yeruchim of Ovid says, my favorite psychologist, he says that if a father gives a bracha to his son or his daughter, wishing for them what the father wants, not what's right for the unique spirit of each child, it's like taking a watering can and watering a plot of land where there's no seeds underneath. He says you have to pitch your bracha to the unique ability and unique needs of each child, because that's the source of happiness, that's the source of motivating a child, that's the source of somebody finding where they're really going. So I told over this story to a group of colleagues at a conference on a Sunday afternoon, And one of them came over to me, and he said, you know, he said that morning he had a session with a kid from Brooklyn where his practice is. And the kid said that the night before he was walking in some part of Flatbush, and he passes a pool hall, and a kid invites him in. And a kid is the head of the group of kids. It's the in crowd in that neighborhood. This kid is the head of that whole crowd. And he's been trying to be part of that crowd. He wanted to be a member of this group. And he's hanging out with the kid. And after a couple of hours, the kid's trusting him a little bit more. And the kid takes out some kind of designer drug and offers it to him. And he tells his therapist that Sunday morning that as he's reaching for the drug, the look of love in his father's eyes when he was benching him the night before comes flashing at him, literally a demustyukno moment. It's a demustyukno moment. And he thinks to himself, you know what? My father knows I'm better than this. My father believes in me. He knows that I would never do this. And he said, without even thinking, I take the drug and I throw it back in the kid's face and I run out of the pool hall and I'm promising you, Doc, I'll never be back there again. The power of uniqueness, the power of fanning the flame of the unique niggun of every individual Jewish soul. It's interesting. Last week, I was in California. And I was talking about a whole different topic. And I don't even know why a man in the audience chose to say this to me, but he asked me to share it wherever I can. His name is Mr. Gardner. So I was telling over something having nothing to do with this, but it had to do with meaning and it had to do with happiness. I was talking about a related topic to this, and with this story I'll end. And it's strange because, again, I think that in a way, as we talk about these two components of happiness being tied, recognizing what the Maharal says, recognizing that it's about cueing into yourself, cueing into your goals. Bein chazon yifara'am. It's having that vision thing, being connected to your uniqueness and your unique voice and finding that and helping others find that in themselves is the key. That's the key. It's the goals and the uniqueness. So the man, older man, he must be in his 80s, and he says, you know something, you're talking about meaning, and I was just thinking, he says, you know what got me through the concentration camps? You know what got me through Auschwitz? He says, I was a teenager in Auschwitz. And he says, you all know how horrible it is. He said, what got me through was the dream. So I said, what was the dream? He said, the dream is that every night I would dream of my father giving me the bracha on Friday night. And he says, I would feel his sweet breath breathing on my forehead as he kissed me after giving me the bracha. And then, suddenly, the reality would come on, and the Germans would come, and they'd say, dirty Jews, get up, get up! And they'd start beating us, and they'd start shooting us, and they'd start schlepping us to the gas chambers. And I would hold on to that dream. I would hold on to that dream. And that's what kept me going. What kept me going was that dream and the image of the kiss of my father and of the breath of my father on my forehead. And I know that in some ways it may not be tied to simcha, but the more I do what I do in terms of the part of me that works with people going through tough times in life, the more I realize that that's what really matters. What really matters and what really is the source of simcha. We look at simchas yontif and the simcha of connection and the simcha of what we learn about over and over again, especially in the Sifrei Musar, about what's, you know, simcha in general is about connection to family, friends, and faith. And I just hope as we all go into the week of going into Pesach that we all remember the lessons of what matters, the lessons of uniqueness, and may we all be zocha to have a chag kosher v'sameach. Thank you. 10 o'clock. Good. Okay.